Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Gayne. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Gentlemen, I assume that most of you probably watched the very first GOP debates last night on Fox News. And if you did, you truly saw what could only really be described as a bizarre night of politics. Absolutely bizarre. Now, we had on the stage North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. I don't know why. You see, this is where things begin to fall apart for me, and we should start by saying there was no debate last night. That wasn't a debate. A debate is when people exchange ideas and discuss or argue about their various policies. What we had last night was eight people who were interviewed for a job. That's not the same thing as a debate. When you go in for a job interview, it's not a debate. It's a job interview. That's what happened last night on Fox News. The two moderators gave these men a job interview. There was no debate or very, very little debate. So let's get that out of the way right at the start. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum does not belong on that stage. He has zero, I repeat, zero chance of even getting above 2%. He's just taking time away and clogging up the process. Likewise, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, zero chance. Zero. Taking up time, clogging up the process. We then have former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former United States Ambassador Nikki Haley. We have former Vice President Mike Pence. We have businessman in Vivek Ramaswamy, and of course, Senator Tim Scott, Senator from South Carolina. And they began this debate, oddly enough, by literally asking them about a song that I don't even know if they've all heard. A country song by the name of Richmond from Richmond or something. Maybe they haven't even heard it. Who knows? It was just bizarre. It was a bizarre opening question, bizarre to say the least. And the moderators lost control very early in this job interview, which is exactly what it was. But let me say this. The two candidates most of you have never heard of, Burgum and Hutchinson, does it matter what they said or did? It doesn't. No one was even listening. Nobody cares. They're not voting for them. And they know they're not winning. They're on that stage for some reason. For the life of me, I do not know why, because they know they're not also not going to get a position in an administration either. But we want to talk about winners and losers here. So let's talk about some of the bizarre things that happened. First off, Nikki Haley. Let's talk about Nikki Haley, who says, President Trump is a very good friend of mine. And I agree with a very large amount of his policies, but we have to be realistic. And realistically, he is the most hated politician in the country. Nikki, there is a very big difference between being hated and being feared. I suggest you learn that difference. Donald Trump is not hated. And the only reason he is hated by some people, it's because they're afraid of him. Simple as that. They're just simply afraid of him. They're afraid of what he might reveal about them, what he could do to them, how he could destroy their political futures. They're just deathly afraid of him. So I guess maybe you do hate people you're afraid of, but you hate them for a weird reason. You hate them because they know who you really are. So learn the difference. Then she says, and I'm just going to pick on Nikki Haley for a moment because I can't believe that some people said Nikki Haley won the debate. What debate are you watching? She then is the staunchest advocate for, no, no, we absolutely have to send more money to the Ukraine. Yes, yes, yes. And if anybody says anything different, they want babies to die and blah, 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 blah. Knock it off. Do you realize the vast majority of the American people do not want to send any more money? We've had it. Okay? We've had it. And then you blatantly lied. You blatantly lied and said Putin said if he takes over the Ukraine, that's just the beginning. Show me where he said it, because he never did. You lied about that. You lied about that to try to make the audience fear that a guy like Ramaswamy might dry up the money. And, oh, my God, the consequences to the United States would be terrible. Why? Vladimir Putin would take the world over. Are you kidding? Funneling in all this money, about a third of it's getting there. The rest of it's lining the pockets of the politicians. And I'm being generous when I say a third of it's getting there. And here we go back with the warmongers. How come you want to pay so much to keep a war going? How come not one person on that stage, with a possible exception of Ramaswamy, said, why do we have to keep funding the war? Why can't we end it? Why can't we sit both sides down and say, all right, now this is serious. We're not playing anymore. We're the strongest country on the face of the earth. And we're not dicking around with you people anymore. This is going to end one way or the other. No, Nikki Haley says, he wants to give half of the Ukraine to Russia and blah, 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 blah. Forget about it. And then her line about, if you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. That was just a rehearsed line. Team said, at some point, use that line. Whenever you get a chance, sneak that line in. You see, the American people are sick of this. And this was all night long by almost everybody. Make sure you sneak this line in. Make sure you sneak that line in. We don't know where you're going to be able to sneak it in, but rehearse it. Here's a couple of zingers. Here's a couple of things you can sneak in. Rehearse them, rehearse them, rehearse them. How about you just walk out on that stage like a human being, answer the questions to the best of your ability, and let people judge whether you're right for the presidency or not. Now, as bad as Nikki Haley was, and she was terrible, going so far as to say, well, now, realistically, we have to look at abortion this way. We can't have one side saying one thing and one side saying another. We have to come together and we have to find some kind of middle ground. Nobody wants abortion right up to the point of birth. What do you mean nobody does? There's 7 states that allow it. I guess you didn't know that, huh? Forget it. Forget it. She has no chance. And I don't want her to be vice president either. Go home. You're a warmonger, and you have no idea what the hell you're talking about. You literally lied about Putin, and then you said that there was no states and no people that wanted abortion right up to the day of birth. That's not true. Go check it. Okay, a few of those states are, you know, for the life of the mother, but not all of them are. So you blatantly lied twice. And how much airtime did you get? 10 minutes? So in 10 minutes, you lied twice. That disqualifies you as far as I'm concerned. Now let's get to Tim Scott. There's nothing wrong with Tim Scott. Tim Scott's a nice guy. I think Tim Scott probably wants what's best for the country. I think Tim Scott would do the best he possibly could. He's not going to win, and he doesn't deserve to win. You're still young. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Be a good senator. See what happens in a few years, 10 years down the road. Somebody to keep your eye on, but certainly not ready now. Because when push comes to shove, he's so unaggressive. And we are living in a very aggressive time. I know there's people saying, can't we just give it peace? No, we can't. And the reason we can't have that is because the other side doesn't want it. So, unfortunately, you can go up to the bullies and say, could you please not beat me up? And then they smack you in the mouth. And then next day you say, can you please not do it again? And they smack you in the mouth. At some point, you have to do something. And Tim Scott's the kind of guy who would ask them not to smack him in the mouth 365 days in a row and still get smacked in the mouth. He's just not aggressive enough. Just nowhere near aggressive enough. Now let me get to Chris Christie. Chris Christie, Ramaswamy nailed when he said, the only reason you're even in this presidential race is because you have a personal vendetta against Donald Trump. That is correct. If you remember, there was Chris Christie smiling like Fred Flintstone at the Water Buffalo Lodge, standing behind Donald Trump on a podium, giddy, laughing, jowl shaking like Santa Claus, while Trump was speaking, practically wetting his pants with glee because he thought he was going to get a big, big position in the administration. And Donald Trump has since said, I never trusted him. He didn't get any position because I didn't trust him. Now, Trump admits, I made some bad decisions. I hired some bad people because I wasn't a Washington insider and I didn't know some of these people. But I figured out Christie very quick. And I knew he was somebody I could not trust. So he got nothing. Christie realizes he gets snubbed and says, I'll fix Donald Trump. I'll get on there and say X, Y, and Z about him and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Well, Ramaswamy nailed him. He's absolutely correct. It's the only reason Chris Christie's running. Chris Christie's a good debater. Chris Christie has a lot of good lines, and he cuts to the chase, and he's right. Ramaswamy does sound like an AI guy at times because he's not a politician. He's not a politician. That was the only line Chris Christie had all night that really hit home, is that sometimes Ramaswamy sounds like you put a quarter in him and press the button and a tape recorder came out. But that's because he's not a politician. The rest of these, it was almost laughable. You could literally ask them a question and they would just get around to a talking point that their super PAC told them to mention. They would say, what do you think about the funding of our government funding of the Ukraine? And these politicians would say, I'm glad you asked me that question. You know, war is a terrible thing, and I think peace is the ultimate solution. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have to take these moral issues, and I'm a very moral person. You're not answering the question. You're just dancing around, and you're saying what your super PAC told you to say. That's why a majority of people think that Ramaswamy won the debate, because he doesn't answer questions that way. He just doesn't. Now, let me be perfectly honest with you. If Vivek Ramaswamy got into a debate with Donald Trump, Ramaswamy would lose very badly, because he showed his weaknesses last night. And his weaknesses is when you hit him, he flinches. And that's not good. When you hit Donald Trump, he hits you back harder. Ramaswamy's not used to these debates. He's used to saying his position the way he feels about it, defending his position, but not the hitting and the counterpunching. He's not used to that. And the only person that was really going to challenge him last night to any degree, besides Nikki Haley, who yelled and screamed at him and lied about him and said, you want to defund Israel? No, he doesn't. Did you read his policy? No, he doesn't. Nikki Haley come out of that stage the biggest liar in the debate. And I thought it would be Mike Pence for sure. But it was Nikki Haley. You want to take away the support of Israel? He does not. You want to give away a huge chunk of the Ukraine to Russia? He does not. Vladimir Putin said if he takes that, the next thing's Poland and onward we go. He did not. Ramaswamy tried to defend himself, but she just kept yelling at him and screaming at him like a mad woman. Yes, this is how we get things done. Ask a woman, right? That's what she said, right? Oh, if you want something done, ask a woman. Okay, well, we ask you to state your position. All you could do is scream. All you could do is scream at somebody. You didn't even give him a chance. He's trying to get a word in edgewise. The moderators are sitting there with their thumbs in their butt going, because they don't know how to control it. And she just screamed. She just outshouted him because she knew he was about to reveal her as a liar. and someone who had no idea what she was talking about. So she just screamed over him until they said, time is up. We can't go on with this any longer. And Ramaswamy never got to reveal her for the liar that she was, but she was. Now let's talk a little bit, I guess, about Mike Pence. There is something about Mike Pence that I loathe. And I'll tell you what I think it is. I think he comes across as the most disingenuous car salesman that you would ever run across trying to sell you a lemon. In one side of his mouth, he's saying, I think it's only fair that all the God-fearing people, the people who fall to their knees on Sunday and pray to their Lord like I do, know that your former president asked me to break the Constitution of the United States of America, and the Lord told me to do different. Oh, shut up. Are you on drugs? Let me give you a little bit of information, Mr. Pence. Right after you refused to do as Trump asked you, guess what happened? The good old GOP and the Democrats got together and changed that law. So let me ask you a question. If you were not legally able to do it anyway, why did they change the law so you couldn't do it? Huh? Answer me that. How come? You don't believe me? Look it up. They changed the law right afterward to make the vice president couldn't do that. Meaning the vice president could. When Mike Pence was vice president. So he lied to you. Yeah, very religious man. Lied to you. And then if that's not bad enough, King Todd wait for the lightning bolt to come down and strike him. He literally invoked God like 16 times. God said this. I was waiting for him to say Jesus has a lawn sign that says vote for Mike Pence. I was waiting for that. That's how bad this got with Mike Pence. It was sickening. And then if that's not bad enough, while he's on one side of his mouth saying what a horrible president Donald Trump was and how the things were, he was battling against his morals the whole time he was vice president. Every time they brought something up, he said, well, our administration did that well. Our administration was wonderful when it came to this. Our administration did this well. No, Trump did that well. You didn't do anything. You stood over his shoulder and applauded. That's what you did. So what are you saying, Mike? Are you saying that he's a terrible president, but, oh, he got many things done? You're taking credit for what he did, all the while saying what a horrible president he was and how he asked you to do horrible things. And then you're hiding behind your religion to do it. Holy cow. I'd vote for Mickey Mouse before I voted for Mike Pence. The most disingenuous man on the face of God's green earth and easily the last person on that debate stage I would vote for. Just a nightmare. A nightmare. Then we get to Ron DeSantis. Right, Ron DeSantis was doing okay. He had a couple of really good lines when he said, I will absolutely send people into Mexico to break up the drug cartels because they are terrorists. And he's right. They are terrorists. 100% correct about what he said. 100% correct when he said we should use some of the money, a good chunk of the money we're sending to the Ukraine to secure our own border. 100% correct. Many of his policies, Ron DeSantis's policies, I support 100%. Now I will tell you the moment when I decided I would not vote for him unless I have to. They're asking a very simple question. Would you still support the Republican nominee if it ends up being Donald Trump and he's indicted? Watch what Mike Pence does. Vivek Ramaswamy's hand goes up immediately. So does Tim Scott's. Nikki Haley reluctantly, I think, puts her hand up, but then puts it down. Mike Pence looks around and I think he kept it down. No, he kept it halfway up. It was Ron DeSantis who waited and looked and seen who's putting it up and who's putting it down, and then he put it halfway up. Okay, so you got to look around to see, what's the majority say? I don't vote for people like that. I don't vote for people like that. Make your goddamn mind up yourself. Don't turn around and say, what did this guy do? What did that guy do? Oh, what's the audience reaction? Is the audience cheering? Are they booing? Mike, I'm telling you right now, Ron DeSantis lost me on that. If he is the eventual nominee, which will not happen, I will vote for him only because of his policies. But if you think for 1 minute that Ron DeSantis is Donald Trump with less baggage, you are incorrect. Ron DeSantis is a typical Republican, a smooth-talking politician who puts his finger up and sees which way the wind blows and goes that way. Still better than Biden by a lot, but he's not the guy you think he is. And last night he proved it, because a man of conviction would either have kept his hand down and said, absolutely not, I will not. Or he would have instantly raised his hand and said, yes, I will. You all signed an agreement saying you would. And then half of you kept it down, meaning your word is no good. What do you think that means? I signed a pledge to do it. And then when he asked me if I did it, I said, I'm not doing it. Oh, so we're supposed to believe anything you say from this point forward? When you sign a document stating you'll do something and then you say, I won't? Holy cow. You want to talk about disingenuous? They're already breaking their promises, and they're not even elected yet. Oh, except for Ron DeSantis, who says, well, I don't know. What's the consensus say? What's best for my campaign? Halfway up? Is that okay? Is that safe? I could say I was halfway down. I'm better off that way. I'll say, I went halfway up. I didn't go all the way up. Oh, I didn't go all the way down, Trump supporters. I was halfway up, please. We don't need somebody walking the tightrope. We don't need somebody middle of the fence. We don't need it. Sorry. I agree with a lot of your policies. You had some good moments last night. You blew it for me with that. You wouldn't even have blown it for me if you kept your hand down. Because at least I would have said, well, that's the way he feels, and that's the way it is. I disagree with him 100%, but at least he's a man of conviction and said, not doing it. But you didn't. You went halfway up like a sissy. Huh. I can put it down if they start booing. I can put it up if they start cheering. I don't know. Maybe I'll just leave it in the middle. Oh, God almighty. Now, I will say this. Has a little bit of a right to complain. He was asked virtually nothing except if he believed in UFOs. You may as well have asked him if he thinks pineapple belongs on pizza. He'd have had a better answer for that one, at least. He tried to take it in good humor, but it's just an asinine question. It's just asinine. I know, all you people with the UFO things are saying, but, what about the government informers? I don't care. That doesn't belong in a presidential debate. I wanted to hear about our economy. I wanted to hear about China. I wanted to hear about the impending moral situation in this country. You know who talked about that? Two people talked about it. Ron DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy. That's it. That's it. He was awful. Now let's go to Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy had a terrible opening. Terrible. It was very disingenuous to say, I know you're all asking yourself, what's the guy with the funny name and the skinny arms doing? No, nobody asked us that. We know what you're doing there. You're a serious politician. We don't want you to make us laugh. We don't want you to be self-deprecating. Christie slammed them for it and nailed them. And so what does that teach you, Vivek? Stay on topic. Nobody was asking that question. You're absolutely 100% right about every other thing you said in the debate. But you didn't need to start that way. So who won the debate? Folks, Donald Trump won the debate. Donald Trump won the debate by a landslide. Over on X, I guess it's being called now, the former Twitter, Tucker Carlson interviewed Donald Trump. 180 million people viewed it. Now, let's be perfectly clear before people jump on me. The way it works over at the former Twitter, if it's in your news line, if it's in your feed, it counts as a view. So you didn't have to watch 1 second of it to be counted. You don't have to watch 1 second of it. So 180 million is way overblown. 180 million people did not watch that. But even if 20% did, that's almost 4 million people who did not watch this debate. And I don't blame you for not watching the debate, because it wasn't a debate. There were four people who should have been on that stage: Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, probably Nikki Haley, and Mike Pence. Maybe you throw in Tim Scott. That's it. That's it. The rest of them were wasting your time. Total waste of time. And they showed themselves to be exactly what I told you they are going to be, with the exception of Ramaswamy. They showed you that they are smooth-talking politicians who have rehearsed lines, who, when they talk about the economy, you say the following thing. When they talk about China, you say the following things. When they talk about the students and the school boards and things, you say the following thing. When they talk about Trump, you say the following thing. Can you remember all that? We're sick of politicians like that. Donald Trump once said, "I don't have a script really when I come out. Once in a while, they'll put some key points on the teleprompter. I go off script a lot." Down with Tucker Carlson, talked to him for an hour and a half. I'm sure there was no script. The only person on this, see, we got a problem, folks, in this country. Politics has become a game. And the smooth-talking politicians who play it are well-rehearsed, putting their finger up to see which way the wind blows. What should I say here? How should I say it there? What's the polling on this before I decide whether I'm for it or against it? How does this rate in the, you know, we did a poll. How does it rate when I say this? Or should I say that? That's what they're doing. So a guy like Ramaswamy walks on the stage and says, "I'm not a politician," much like Donald Trump did, and just talks from the hip. And at least, whether you agree with what he said or you don't agree with what he said, at least he said it, and he said it with clarity, and he said it with conviction. He didn't waffle. He didn't wait to see what everybody else is saying. He said, no, his hand went up in a heartbeat and said, yes, the very first thing I would do if I was the president is pardon Donald Trump. Did anybody else say that? No, they didn't. And at the end of the night, while Chris Christie is saying, "I'm the only governor that was a governor of a blue state when I'm a Republican," yeah, and your approval rating was 3%. You left that out, Chris. Yeah, you won. You won because the New Jersey had it up to their noses. But you were at 3% approval rating. So please, spare me the "I was popular among the Democrats." I don't care. Ramaswamy hit him back hard, but not with the line about the talking like an AI. He hit him back when he said, "I don't want to be the president of MSNBC. If you want to just talk about how bad Donald Trump is, you don't need to listen to Chris Christie. Just tune into MSNBC. That's absolutely correct. Chris Christie is out for vengeance because he wasn't chosen. He was revealed as a bitter, small, not figuratively, but mentally, small man who's a loud mouth but gets nothing accomplished when push comes to shove. Ramaswamy also destroyed Mike Pence, who's a liar, a phony, a fraud, a used car salesman, and someone who hides behind his religion, which is worse yet. Mike Pence came as close as he possibly could to saying, "God wants you to vote for me." And that's just reprehensible. Absolutely reprehensible. Nikki Haley, every time she opened her mouth, was another lie or a non-fact, just like every politician. You want to talk about the typical politician, there you go, there's Nikki Haley. You want another normal Republican politician who talks a big game and does absolutely zilch, then there's your candidate. The other two guys on the end, forget it. Just forget it. They know they're not winning. They're not even serious about running. There's three people in this race that I have any real respect for. Ron DeSantis, who lost a little of my respect last night, I have to say. Ramaswamy and Tim Scott. That's it. So let me boil it down. Ron DeSantis last night lost me by being indecisive about a very simple question and having to look around to see which way the wind blows. That told me he is not the guy he claims he is. Otherwise, he would have made his decision without looking at what other people did, which he did not do. That leaves Tim Scott and Vivek Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy needs to stop trying to be everybody's buddy, because I got news for you. Chris Christie is right as rain about one thing, and that's what Barack Obama did. I don't want another Barack Obama. I don't want a guy, look, I'm playing tennis, I'm playing basketball, I'm hanging around with hip-hop stars, I'm singing songs at a festival. I'm just like you. Forget it. Forget that nonsense. We don't want to have a beer with you. We want you to leave the country. Chris Christie did you a favor last night. Actually, by revealing that, stop doing it, because your policies are fine. Your conviction is excellent. You're a smart guy. Stop trying to be America's friend. We don't need a friend right now. You know, a guy made a point, and I thought it was an excellent, excellent point. He said, you know, Ramaswamy says he doesn't want to be vice president, and that's a shame, because it would almost be like the Hulk and Bruce Banner. Donald Trump is the Hulk who comes in and says, I don't care what anybody thinks of me, and I don't care if I'm anybody's friend. I'm going to be the bull in the china shop and crash through the walls, and people are going to pay. And Ramaswamy could be the Bruce Banner who kind of controls it and says, let's not go too far. Let's make sure we do this. Make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's. Would be very good. They'd be a very good team. They would be a very, very good team. Now, this is something else I do not like about Ramaswamy. How dare you say you don't want to be the vice president of the United States? That's an insult to this country. If someone was to say to you or me or anybody, we want you to be the vice president, that is an honor. That is a huge, gigantic honor. And you better think twice, because that's like saying, if I'm not going to be the captain of the ball team, I'm not playing ball. I don't like that attitude. So there's the problem I have with all the candidates. Now, if you want me to answer the question of who won the debate on stage, Ramaswamy won the debate on stage. He was right about everything he said. He nailed Nikki Haley for being a liar. He nailed Chris Christie for being a vindictive punk. He nailed Mike Pence for being a phony warmonger. Nailed him. And nobody really laid a glove on him other than Chris Christie, who said, you talk like you're an AI candidate. Sometimes he does. He needs to stop. But again, he's not a politician. So he's doing his best to try to fit into something he really doesn't fit into right now. So I'll give him a little break on that. Second was probably DeSantis. DeSantis probably had one of the best lines of the night when he said, when asked, would you go so far as to send troops across the border to raid the drug cartels? And he said, absolutely. They're terrorist organizations. They're killing people. They're killing Americans at a record rate. Absolutely correct. Do believe that he is for sitting down and trying to moderate some kind of a peace deal between Russia and the Ukraine instead of just throwing money at it. Let's throw more money so more people die. You need more weapons to kill more Russians. I think it was DeSantis who said, forgive me if I'm wrong, what the hell difference is it? No, you know what? It wasn't DeSantis. It was Trump during the interview with Tucker who said, let's be honest. What the hell difference does it make? If it's Russians dying or Ukrainians dying, people are dying. Can we stop? Can we stop it? rather than fund it? Oh, the Russians are dying. Good. Kill them, kill them, kill them. Send more money so they can kill more of them. How about we just stop it? That makes more sense. And then Chris Christie, disingenuous as he can be, said, well, you know, I've been down to the Ukraine, and if you've seen the horrors and the children that you couldn't even fit in this theater that were killed and the men whose women were raped, and you, yes, we know. Yes, we know. War is a horrible, terrible thing. If you could see the children who were raped and sold into slavery crossing this border, Chris, maybe you should worry a little bit more about that and then solving the problem by ending the war in the Ukraine rather than funding it. Nobody wants to end this war, with the possible exception of Vivek Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis. Everybody else is for, we're going to pour more billions into it. We'll give them better weapons, and then more Russians will die. And then the Russians will come up with better weapons, and then more Ukrainians will die. And we'll get rich in the process. That's the whole nine yards of that. It's disgusting. So we boiled it down to three people. I don't know what Tim Scott's position is. I like Tim. Tim Scott is one of those guys, I think, if I met Tim Scott, we'd get along. Seems like a nice guy. Seems like an intelligent guy. Seems like a guy who really wants what's best for the country. He's a great senator, but he's not presidential material, I'm sorry. He just isn't. He can be a very, very vital part of our political system and someone who certainly can play an integral role in an administration. But he's not the head guy. And you could see it last night, he's not the head guy. Head guy takes charge. Who took charge of the room last night? Well, Mike Pence tried to take charge of the room. But that's only because he was telling everybody else how God wants him to win. Other than that, Nikki Haley shouted people down, if you want to count that. But the one that people listened to, whether they booed him or cheered him, was Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis. Those are the two people that the audience actually listened to. They're it. And I'm sorry to tell you that Ron DeSantis lost a lot of my respect last night with that hand nonsense. I don't like wafflers. I don't like people who check which way the wind blows. That shook me up. I didn't think he was that type of a guy. Now, he tried to defend Trump later, but, you know, listen, the bottom line of the situation is this. We have a very important decision to make. We have a man in Joe Biden who clearly is corrupt. We now know that he actually used aliases. And, yes, you're going to hear the left say, oh, presidents often use aliases when they're, yeah, okay. That's fine, but not when you're just talking to one guy from the Ukraine about your son's business dealings. You don't use it then. He's clearly corrupted. He's clearly a money launderer. He's so old, God bless him, but he's so old, he can't even get things done. He fell asleep during the Maui visit. While people are speaking, and the left has the nerve to say, he didn't fall asleep. That's a lie. You used low-resolution video to make it look as though his eyes were closed. In fact, his eyes were open. He was bowing his head in silence. No, he fell asleep. I seen it in high definition. His eyes were closed. He was nodding off. Makes a joke about how hot the ground is. Ground's pretty hot down here. Yeah, that's funny. If Donald Trump had done that, they'd have called him every name in the book. Every name in the book. And then lies, by the way, and says, well, you know, I don't want to compare the disasters, but we kind of know about this because our house caught fire one time. And, it was put out in 20 minutes, Joe. Do you understand that the ocean was 120 some odd degrees? Do you understand that this was an inferno? Do you understand the devastation that this caused? I'm sorry if your mansion was inconvenienced for 20 minutes. Car was in danger for a moment or two. Holy cow, you want to talk about disassociated from reality. If you, at this stage of the game, are even considering voting for Joe Biden, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I don't know what to tell you. You really need to rethink your life a little bit, because I honestly don't want to be insulting, but you almost have to be an imbecile. You almost have to be. You can clearly see, if you have eyes, you can clearly see the poor man. I don't wish the man bad. The poor man is done. He's finished. He can't walk. He can't string coherent sentences together. He lies constantly or misremembers, whatever you want to call it. When people start to get Alzheimer's, I remember when that frog that was the size of a small cat jumped into the swimming pool. No, Grandpa, because it didn't happen. It happened in your head. There was no frog the size of a cat that jumped in the swimming pool, but you can't tell Grandpa that because he really thinks it happened, because in his head it did. Just like all these things that Joe Biden says happened, they didn't never happen. And when you fact check him, it never happened. He keeps right on saying it. Now, you know he has handlers who says, Joe, don't talk about being arrested with the Nelson Mandela thing anymore. It didn't happen, Joe. 2 weeks later, when I was arrested, he doesn't even remember what they said. He doesn't even remember what they said not to do. He's done. So now we have a very important decision to make, and that's who's the next going to run the country. And I got news for you. At least the right, from what I see, does not want a career politician. They don't want some slick used car salesman with rehearsed lines that he got from his super PAC and his speech writers come out on stage and say, ladies and gentlemen, this country is in such moral decay and such economic decline that I feel that the two of them are tied together, and we must first lift the country's morals and then restore the economy. Yeah. I want a normal person to come out there and say, listen, this country's in a mess. And I'll tell you why it's in a mess, because the liberal policies have made it a mess, because they're insane. And we've got to reverse all these things, or we're going to go down the crap hole. That's what the American people want to hear. They want to hear Mike Pence say how God told him to do something. I got news for you, Mike Pence. You lied last night. You lied to the American people, and that is unforgivable for a man who claims to be so morally superior and so religious. You said the Constitution legally would not allow you to do what Donald Trump asked you to do, which was basically just to rescind the electors. Send them back to the state. Well, if that was the case and you were not legally allowed by the Constitution to do it, how come you and other GOP members changed the law right after you refused to do it to make sure no one could ever do it? If you can't do it, there's no sense of changing a law. That would be like saying, well, there's a law against going through a stop sign, but we're going to make a law that says you can't go through a stop sign. Well, if it's already there, it's already there. You don't need to make another one. It wasn't already there, Mike. You did have the legal right to do it. You just didn't. And you know why you didn't? Because you're a coward. You knew exactly what happened. But these rhino Republicans said, Mike, you're going to be the next guy in line. Mike, do the right thing, and you're going to be the next president of the United States. We'll get behind you, Mike. We just need Trump out of there. Don't do what Trump asks you to do. We know there's a legal claim for it, but we'll just back you and say there isn't. And that's what you did, Mike. That's exactly what you did. And the American people know it. And I'm glad I don't have a friend like Nikki Haley. I'm glad Trump is my friend. However, he's the most unpopular person in the world, and he cannot beat Joe Biden. What do you mean he cannot beat Joe Biden? He already did. That would have been a really good answer. You know, if Nikki Haley, if they said, Nikki can Donald Trump beat Joe Biden, and she said, I got news for you, already did. That would have been the best line of the debate. Because everybody knows it's true. Just like everybody knows that Epstein didn't kill himself. Just like everybody knows that the Russian collusion thing is a hoax. Just like everybody knew the Hunter Biden's laptop was real. We all know that this election was not on the up and up. We all know you changed the laws illegally to benefit one side and then changed them back afterwards so it could never happen again. Mission accomplished. You got Donald Trump out by very nefarious and probably illegal means. And the only person who was indicated in any way, shape, or form that that's probably true is Vivek Ramaswamy. And you know why he knows that's true? Let me explain to you why Ramaswamy understands that's true. Because he's not a politician. Every person on that stage knows it's true. Every person knows this election was stolen. They can't say it. Because if they did say it, they're afraid, well, my Republican super PACs won't get behind me. I'll be vilified from the rhinos, and I won't be able to go to the country clubs and hang out with the so-and-sos, and I have to be able to waffle and say, well, you know, I don't think the election was stolen. I do think that we need to rethink some of the law. Yeah. You know what? At least Ramaswamy came out and said, listen, the bottom line of the situation, and he said this on CNN, by the way, to Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper's first question to Ramaswamy during an interview was, yes or no, was the election rigged? Was the election stolen? And Ramaswamy says, well, that's a loaded question. I don't know if the voting machines were rigged. I don't know if there was misconduct at every polling place. Here's what I do know. I do know you illegally changed the election laws. I do know that the FBI withheld vital information to the American people that Hunter Biden's laptop was real, and I'm a data guy, and the data shows that 1 in 6 voters would not have voted for Joe Biden had they known that. So if you want to add all those things up, would be the president. So what do you call that? See, because I call it election interference. I call it a scam. And obviously Ramaswamy does too. Here's my thing with Ramaswamy. He needs a little more seasoning. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Donald Trump didn't have it. Yes, Donald Trump did have a lot. See, here's what you don't know about Donald Trump, or a lot of people don't know. Donald Trump was a businessman for how long? He knew every single politician inside and out. Matter of fact, he made large donations to Democrats and Republicans. He knew every one of these politicians inside out, upside down, forwards and backwards. No, he wasn't a politician, but he knew the game. He at least knew the game, and he knew who the players were in the game. I don't think Ramaswamy does. Now, Ramaswamy's a fighter and a guy who is very, very set and a man of conviction. He needs some time. He has to be delusional if he doesn't take the vice presidency if it's offered to him. He has to be delusional. This is exactly what he needs. Exactly what he needs. A little bit of time to get to know the game and the players in the game. And he would be an excellent president. I think DeSantis might be an excellent president, given a little more time. But DeSantis is not ready now. And you can tell he's not ready now because he's indecisive. I don't want an indecisive president. Do you remember when Donald Trump stood on that stage and he was the only guy that raised his hand when asked a question? You know what that's called? That's called being bold and daring and believing in yourself. A typical politician would have said, nobody else is raising their hand. I better keep mine down too. Trump didn't do that. This is what we need more of. I don't think people quite understand what we're up against here. We are up against a machine in the Democrat Party who is willing to crush even their own to remain in power. If they begin to feel that Joe Biden cannot win this, They will crush Joe Biden. Now, here's the thing. I don't hate Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's a typical politician. He took graft money. He enriched his family illegally. He's a crook. So are 90% of the politicians. So are 90% of them. What I do think is that he is a figurehead. I don't think he's running the country. I mean, he's close to running the country. And you see how the country is heading, right? You see how we're heading. We don't want gas stoves. We don't want you to have this. We don't want you to have that. We're taking away this. We're taking away that. They want third world status here, so the government rules you. That's what they're aiming for. That's what they want. That's their goal. And you need somebody who's standing in their way. So I'm going to ask you very, very seriously to consider this. Who do you want standing in the way of a machine, a tank, a Sherman tank blazing through saying, you will do as you're told? Nikki Haley? Chris Christie? I doubt it. Mike Pence? I doubt it. Even Ron DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy, really? Think about it. Who's the one person they fear the most? That's Donald Trump. There's a reason they fear him. When Nikki Haley said he's the most hated, she meant the most feared. And there's a reason. Not because they think he's going to ruin the country. Did he ruin the country the first 4 years? The country was running fine. And then they lied to you again and said, you know, he put us in such debt. Yeah, because of COVID. That's what caused that. A disaster struck. It was going right back to the way the economy was bouncing right back. And then Biden got in. And it went back down the crap hole again. We need somebody who can stand in the way of that tank. Now, I would be more than happy to have Ramaswamy backing me up if I was standing in front of that tank, but I don't want him leading the charge. If he were nominated, would I vote for him? Yes, I would. If Ron DeSantis were nominated, would I vote for him? Yes, I would. There's several people on that stage I would vote for, certainly above Joe Biden or Gavin Newsom if that happens. But I'm telling you right now, if you think you're going to get anything better by voting for a Mike Pence or a Chris Christie, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get anything better. It's the good old boys club, right back to business as usual. The politicians can lean back, relax, and say, all right, back to business as usual, where we get fat and rich and we promise the people the moon and give them nothing. That's what's going to happen. If you don't believe me, count the lies last night. Count the lies. Most of them, you know, coming from Nikki Haley, but other people lied too. Or if they didn't lie, they left out things. Like when they said, oh, well, Trump put us in debt, Mike Pence, Trump put us in such debt. Now, you know why he did that, Mike. You know it was COVID. If that had been you, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, or anybody else, we would have been in that same debt. Because it was unavoidable. And you know that. But you chose to take that shot because, oh, it's politically good for me. Those are people I do not like and I do not trust. Ramaswamy had the cojones to say Donald Trump was the best president of this century. Hands down. He's right. But at the same token, Ramaswamy is not Donald Trump. Ramaswamy is a guy who the Democrats will say, yeah, well, his policies and stuff are a lot like Trump, but we can handle him. We can handle Ramaswamy. We're not worried about Ramaswamy. We'll handle him. We'll rein him in. He doesn't know what Washington is all about. He'll learn. They're not going to do it to Trump, and they know they're not going to do it to Trump. They know exactly what's coming. Now let me just say a little something about Fox News. Don't think for one minute that Fox News, friend eater, notice it was called Democracy 2024. Oh, yeah. Notice how they were favoring like one candidate, wouldn't let some of the other people speak, and it, please. And then these disingenuous bastards last night get on and say, well, you know, Donald Trump should have been there. Why? Why should he have been there? He's leading by 60 points. What earthly good is it going to do for Donald Trump to stand on that stage, soak up all the energy in the room, and have everybody just point their finger at him, with the possible exception of Ramaswamy, and say, ah, Trump's this and Trump's that, and you've been indicted and you've been impeached and you're nasty and you're mean. You call people names for an hour and a half. Is that going to help this country? Every single one of these politicians should have breathed a sigh of relief and said, good, I'm glad Trump's not here. Now I'll get my message heard. You all had the chance last night. Trump backed out. You know what it's like? It's like when the opening band, there's three or four bands, and then the main band canceled. And you say, oh, boy, wow. We're going to get to be the main band then, aren't we? Everybody's going to have to listen to us. Well, that's what happened last night. Everybody got to listen to you. Here was your big chance. So let's go right down the thing. Hutchinson did nothing. Goodbye. You're out. The other moron, he's out. Chris Christie literally looked like he was late for the buffet. He had one good line early on, and after that, he was just a loudmouth. Mike Pence was beyond contempt. I can't even look at him. I cannot believe that I was bluffed by this man for 4 years, thinking he was an honorable, moral guy who was the steadying influence in Donald Trump's presidency. This guy is a phony. He is a used car salesman of the nth degree. And no one's voting for him. Goodbye. Nikki Haley proved that if you ask her a question, she'll lie. So she's a typical politician. Everything that came out of her mouth was a complete lie. Tim Scott, nice guy, good policies. He's not a leader. He's not a leader. Sorry, he's not a leader. DeSantis waffled, had a few good lines, and certainly has some good policies. Could be a good leader one day when he learns not to waffle. When he learns it's better to take the booze, or take the cheers, take the hard road instead of the paved one, if that's what you really feel and your convictions call for. Ramaswamy needs to learn. We don't want you to be the pinup guy on the GQ magazine. We don't need to see you playing tennis shirtless. Look what good shape I'm in. I'm young and I'm vibrant and I can sing Eminem songs. We don't need that. This country is in turmoil. We don't need that. Stop it. Because you've got the right policies. You've got the right voice, but you're not there yet. You're just not there yet. Take the advice of many people as well as myself. If you are offered that VP spot, grab it, because it is the ultimate experience for you and a launching pad for a possible future presidency. If you do not take it, it is going to be thought of as you thumbing your nose at the American people saying, I was called upon and I said no, thank you. That's a huge mistake. Don't make that mistake. DeSantis has already made that mistake and said, I'm not a second banana. I'm either the leader or I'm not. Oh, gotcha. Well, that's not a great attitude. It's not a great attitude. See, there are people, folks, who are just leaders, and there are people who aren't. And if we really want to do a deep dive here, just replace any candidate on that stage, including Ramaswamy and including Mike Pence and including Ron DeSantis. Would they have went over to Kim Jong-un and asked him point blank out, can I walk over here, being the first president to step foot on North Korean soil? No, they wouldn't have. They would have said, well, I know that's not allowed. I'll just wait. I don't want to be pushy. See, Donald Trump is the bull in the china shop. Donald Trump is, listen, I'm the alpha male here. And they all knew it. That's the thing. He's saying, well, I got to go along good with the foreign leaders. Yeah, of course you did. Because they knew you were damn serious. You weren't going to back down. You didn't go by any political ideologies of, well, I shouldn't say this and I shouldn't do that. I'm just going to do it. He had balls of brass, and he did not give one single damn about the etiquette behind it, and it was successful. I don't think if you put any of the top people in his place in certain situations, you'd come out any better. Remember when we had our first meeting with China under the new administration, the Joe Biden administration? Remember what happened? China said, you're no longer in position to tell us anything or what to do or how we should conduct our affairs. And what did Blinken and those people do? Okay. I'm afraid that Mike Pence would have said, okay, well, if that's the way you feel. And I'm afraid that Ron DeSantis would have said, well, in that case, there's no point of talking. And Vivek Ramaswamy would have said the same thing. Donald Trump told you what he would have said. He would have said, oh, yeah? Well, then we're pulling all of our people out of this meeting right now. As far as you importing things into this country, that's on hold. You want to play hardball with me? I'll play harder ball with you, my friend. And that's what they respect, because they say, man, when he gets us, it's almost like these people that say, I could put you in checkmate, but I want to play the game longer. As opposed to the guy who says, look, if I can put him in checkmate, this game is over. We need the bull in the china shop this time around. I have a lot of respect for Ramaswamy. I have a lot of respect left for DeSantis. But we don't need them right now. They're not the answer to this problem. You know, every key opens a lock, right? Every key opens a lock, some lock. But you just don't take any key and try to open a lock. You need the right one. Trump's the right one this time. After 4 years of scorched earth and getting this country back into a position where the American people clearly understand that their politicians are phony, baloney liars and crooks, most of them. Maybe, just maybe, we can restore honest government to this country. And then maybe, just maybe, people like Ramaswamy and DeSantis can come in and do a great job. But right now, we need the bull in the china shop. You know, if you're a movie fan, you'll remember that in the Avengers movie, where they said, we have an army of I don't know how many people, and Iron Man is very powerful, and Captain America and all the rest of the Avengers, yeah, well, we got a Hulk. And they told him, it might be time for you to get mad. It might be time for you to get very, very mad. Well, guess what, folks? It's time for us to get mad. It's time for us to get very, very mad and unleash that Hulk. That Hulk is not Vivek Ramaswamy. That Hulk is not Ron DeSantis. They can play an integral part. They can be the backup Avengers. Can't be the Hulk. Okay? So what you saw on that stage last night was typical politician and one non-politician. Most of them not worthy of your vote, a couple of them who are. But I'm interested in what everybody else thinks. So let's talk about it a little bit. Tom in New York, who won the debate last night?
Oh, you want to know my personal opinion? Donald Trump won that debate hands down by simply not being there, because you know what were their ratings? Who? What were they really waiting for? They're really waiting for that interview that was on Tucker. If you want to know who won on the stage, to me they were all disingenuous. I don't really know who Tim Scott is. I mean, I know of him, but he had some good things to say. He's just, in my opinion, he's too nice of a guy to lead the country. That's somebody who could be controlled. Vivek is too. Vivek has my vote. Who won on the stage? And I, much like you, lost a boatload of respect for Ron DeSantis when he didn't raise his hand. And I never had any respect for Mike Pence. I think he's what would have happened if Geppetto and Pinocchio had a love child.
Yeah, now Derek in the chat room had asked, well, you know, when Nikki Haley played the woman card, how come Tim Scott didn't play the race card? Because Tim Scott's an honorable guy. Tim Scott doesn't want to play the race card because he doesn't feel like any of this had to do with his race. See, that's what the difference is between Nick Scott and Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley went right to the woman card. Now, if you want something done, you have to ask a woman. Oh, really? You're going to vote for Hillary Clinton then if she runs? Is that what you're saying? Did you vote for Hillary over Donald Trump, or did you think Donald Trump could get things done? See, that's what I would have asked. I would have said, really, is that your opinion? If that's your opinion, I take it you voted for Hillary in 2016? That would have brought the house down. That's why I'm saying Tim Scott is a good guy. He's not a leader. If you think for 1 minute that Donald Trump wouldn't have said what I just said, if someone said what Nikki Haley said, you're crazy. He would have said it instantaneously. There would have been a roar from the crowd. That would have killed her line. And she could skulk off the stage knowing I got my ass handed to me and there's nothing I can do about it. That's the difference. Everyone's trying to play this nicey-nice political game, and we are in a position where we can't afford to be nice. I'm sorry. I wish we were. Honest to God, I wish we were. I know there's probably people who think I'm lying about that, but I'm not. I wish we were in a position where the Democrats and the Republicans could get together and say, you know what our job really is? Our job is really to make the majority of this country happy and give everybody a little bit of what they want. So it's not, well, if our side wins, our side gets everything and your side gets nothing. If your side wins, your side gets everything and our side gets nothing. That's not the job of government. The job of government is to help the people get what they want. So can we put aside our personal differences? And can we work on some bills that are going to help the American people and forget these ridiculous nonsense climate change, which Vivek Ramaswamy rightfully called a hoax. It is a hoax. You don't believe it's a hoax. All you have to do is use common sense. Barack Obama was the man who said, if we don't do something, the oceans are going to rise, and it's going to wipe out this, it's going to wipe out that. And then he goes and buys millions of dollars worth of real estate right on the ocean. Would you do that? If you said, well, this volcano is about to blow any day now, this volcano is going to erupt and wipe out this town, would you buy the house right next to the volcano? No, you wouldn't. That's because he knows it's a lie. He knows it's bull. That's why we see all these people saying you can't fly in an airplane, but they fly all around. That's why when we see Greta Thunberg caught on camera mocking her own performance, talking in a restaurant saying, how dare you, when she gets the wrong order or whatever. Because she's laughing. Ah, remember when I said that and they believed me? They really thought I was righteously angry and I was this little girl who's speaking up for the world. Remember that? Ha, 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 idiot. They're all phonies. Every single one of them. Ramaswamy called that out last night. They shouted him down. The Fox News host shouted him down. They wouldn't let him say it, but he got it out for the people who could hear it. And by the way, let me ask you all a question. Did you notice that when Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley were really having their exchange, heated exchange for a minute, and then Ramaswamy was given his 30-second rebuttal, they turned his microphone down and turned the crowd noise up. So you could hear the crowd reactions over Ramaswamy's 30-second rebuttal. Now, if you've never actually been on a sound stage, or you've never done any miking of sound, or you've never been in a TV production or anything like that, you might have thought, oh, the crowd just got super noisy during that. The crowd was heated during that. They turned their microphone up. They turned the crowd mic way up and turned his down. You think that's not on purpose? Did you notice that, Tom?
Yeah, actually, I did notice that. And initially, my first response was, my first thought was, they did that on purpose. And of course they did. There's no, because they do things like that at, like, wrestling events, when a guy is in, you know, a performer isn't getting over so much, they turn up the crowd noise, right? They pipe it in. They specifically turned down his mic because they were trying to stifle him, and they did, they succeeded. And they tried to get, you know, the people who don't know any better are going to be like, oh yeah, the crowd just got, you know, really loud and boisterous. No, they didn't, because there was a time in that whole broadcast where the crowd got really loud and they turned around and piped them down. Why did they turn around and pipe
them down? Absolutely. Easy enough to do. Easy enough to do. But you notice they didn't pipe him down when Ramaswamy was trying to give his response, because they didn't want to hear it. They did not want to hear it. They got to protect people like Nikki Haley and Mike Pence, because those are the uniparty candidates that they want to win. Simple as that. Fox News was never on Donald Trump's side, and they would not have let Chris Wallace host that one debate where he wouldn't let Trump talk, and basically sided with Biden, saying, has been proven to be Russian collusion, that laptop has been proven to be Russian disinformation. No, it hadn't, Chris. You lied. They have never been for Donald Trump. Never. You see, the problem is, if Mike Pence said one thing that was true, he said, you can't mistake the government for the people. The government may think one way, but the people may think another. He's right about that. The people hate this government, and rightfully so. They're untrustworthy. They're uncaring. They're unsympathetic. They're out of touch. They're crooked. They're liars. And they're phony. So when along comes a non-politician like Donald Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy, who are saying, I got nothing to gain, so I'm just going to tell you the truth, all of these people get together and say, did you hear what he said? He's going to expose our game. What shall we do? Whatever shall we do with these people? Well, we have to stop them. If we want to continue playing this game, we have to stop them. We can't let the American people know the truth. And that's what they do. They've all colluded to stop Donald Trump, and they might. They might. But I got news for you, folks. I'm hearing, just a rumor, I'm hearing these charges may all be dismissed very soon. Now, tonight, we're going to see Donald Trump actually perp walked, mugshotted, and everything. We're going to see that. But I have listened now to two separate judges say, this is never going to fly. He has absolute immunity in this. There is absolutely no legal way to continue this. Even if they find what he did was illegal, he still has the immunity of it. And it's a stretch to find that it's illegal. Donald Trump was on Tucker Carlson last night still saying the election was stolen. You would have to prove that Donald Trump knew that was a lie. To this day, he still thinks it. Hell, I still think it. Because if you think for one moment that I think 81 million people turned out to vote for Joe Biden, who hid in his basement, and when he did come out, couldn't draw a crowd of more than 50 people, you got to be insane. Now, I did want to mention one more thing, because we're getting close to this Joe Biden possible impeachment thing. And I wanted to bring something up that I don't think anybody's brought up yet. If they have, I haven't heard it. I got to thinking the other night about Joe Biden telling the story about how he had the Ukrainian prosecutor fired, or if they didn't fire him, he was going to hold back that $1 billion that they was going to give to the Ukraine, remember? I got to thinking about it, and I said, I don't think a vice president could make that decision. In other words, even if he was in charge of the Ukraine, which he was, I think that big of a decision to withhold that money, he would have had to clear with Obama. Right? So when he put out that bluff, he already knew Obama would back him up. As I said on a previous show, that means Obama had to be in on it. Because Joe wouldn't even have the authority, I wouldn't imagine, as vice president to say, you're not getting the money. And what's he supposed to do? Come home from the Ukraine and tell Barack, I didn't give him the money, Barack. And Obama says, well, what the hell, why? Well, they wouldn't fire that prosecutor. Well, you should have called me. You can't make that decision. Now I got to answer for it, right? Wouldn't that have happened? Of course it would have happened. Folks, this is all one big game. You've been lied to for years and years and years and years. The people we thought we could trust, the people we voted for, they're phonies. We didn't know it until someone came along that wasn't a phony. And now they're pointing the finger at him saying he's the ultimate phony because the rest of them are all in on it, or at least the majority of them. So here comes another outsider in Ramaswamy, and he's also starting to expose the way this is working. He's also a billionaire. He's also someone you can't buy off. And now we're beginning to see how the hot dog is made, and we don't want it. So you're not going to vote for your typical politician. Why do you think Donald Trump has a 60-point lead? Because all these candidates are so wonderful? So well-spoken, so articulate, their policies are so wonderful. Their policies are all go to war, go to war, go to war, pay for a war, pay for a war, tax more, spend more, spend more. That's their idea. Because every time they do that, they put more money in their pocket. Guys like Trump and Ramaswamy don't need any more money in their pocket. This is the issue, folks. And it's a big one. You're going to have to make a decision. Do you want business as usual? Republicans marginally better than the Democrats being in charge? Because I'm going to just put on my Nostradamus cap and tell you right now, here's how it will go. If Mike Pence were to win, or let's say, I don't know, I won't say Tim Scott, Chris Christie was to win, or Nikki Haley were to win, here's what you'd get. Well, we wanted to do this. We wanted to build a wall. But, of course, we don't have the whole Senate and the House. And the Democrats are holding us back. And we'll do our best to work through it. And then nothing will get done. And it's already been a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know that's not going to happen. I'm going to go out and say we're going to build the wall. But you know that's not going to happen. That's what they do. And the Democrats say, well, we're against that, knowing all the time, well, he wasn't serious about it anyway. He knows it's not going to happen. That's the game that they play. It's pro wrestling. I'm mad at you. No, I'm mad at you. Oh, wait till I get you in the ring. No, wait till I get you in the ring. And then you go out and have beers later and say, oh, them idiots believed it. Well, we got the bull in the china shop in Donald Trump, who said, don't believe this. Don't believe what you're being led astray, even by my own party. So you got to make a decision. Do you want business as usual and go back to this? We don't know what's going on in Washington, and it's always going to be just, couldn't quite get this done, couldn't quite get that done. Doesn't really much matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican. Life stays about the same. Or do you want a chance to get back what Donald Trump had given you? Gas was $2 a gallon. Manufacturing jobs was flooding into this country. China was at bay. They were about to suffer the biggest economic crash in their history. Al-Qaeda was totally wiped out. We are the largest exporters of oil. First-time home buying for minorities, higher than ever. But he's evil and terrible. $4 gas, people who can't make a living, people who can't make ends meet. Well, that's Joe Biden's economy, and that's wonderful, according to the Democrats. You got to make a rough decision, folks. We have a problem, and the problem is no politician is going to be able to solve this. The only person that's going to be able to solve this is an outsider who has balls of steel, who has enough cojones to look even his own party members in the eye and say, you're a phony and a crook, and get the job done. And I think that's Donald Trump. I don't think it's Ron DeSantis. I don't think it's Vivek Ramaswamy. It's not going to take him serious. When Chris Christie called Ramaswamy basically an AI candidate and said he sounded like that chat, whatever, Ramaswamy just laughed. That's a funny joke. Instead of snapping back at Chris Christie and saying, what do you sound like? You sound like a bitter politician who's mad you didn't get a job in the Trump administration because he rightfully didn't trust you. And the only reason the Democrats voted for you in New York and you got so much done with the Democrats is because you're practically a Democrat. That's all. That would have shut up Christie. Instead, he just says, well, you want to give me a hug like you did Barack Obama? See, I don't think Ramaswamy is a truthful man and a moral man, and his policies are correct. But I think he's not that guy that if you trap him into a corner, you're the one in trouble. If you trap Donald Trump in a corner, you're the one who's actually in trouble. And that's what we need right now. At least that's what I think we need, Tom.
Yeah, and we need that, you know, we need that more than ever, because I got news. I mean, we've had this discussion, you know, 4 years ago almost, where we said, you know, the 2020 election is the most important election in history. And it was at that time. This one coming up in 2024 is the most important in my lifetime. I bumped the 2020 to the 2024 one, because this is going to decide which direction our country is going to go, and we got to get that right person in there. And that right person, I'm just saying, like I said, I like Ramaswamy and I like DeSantis. They're not ready, neither one of them. Donald Trump.
We are at a point in this country, Tom, where last night one of the top journalists, at least one of the top listened to and watched journalists, Tucker Carlson, had to ask a presidential candidate, a leading presidential candidate, are you worried they are going to try to assassinate you? I want you to let that sink in for a minute. We're in the United States of America. And the top journalist, top watch journalist in this country felt it necessary to ask the top front runner for the presidential nomination, are you worried they may try to assassinate you, as if we live in a third world country? When it's come so far that you have to ask a presidential contender, are you worried about assassination? We've reached the point where no normal politician is going to solve this problem, Tom.
You're absolutely correct. Donald Trump is obviously the front runner, and his poll numbers have probably gone up since he was since he turned himself in to Fulton County. His numbers probably went up. So he's clearly not worried about even being at the – I'm pretty sure he's not worried about being assassinated, although that is a question that absolutely floored me. They practically – they've assassinated him in some sense for the last how many years? I don't think he's worried, but
at the very least. I do want to mention before we leave here, I don't have any inside sources, so I'm not claiming I do. But I do have some news sources. And I will tell you that I think something very big is going to be happening by Monday next, involving this probe into Biden. I understand that evidence is coming to light. Something is coming to light that's going to be mind-blowing. And I believe the Democrats know it. So we will see what ends up happening come next week. I have a feeling that Gavin Newsom's in the bullpen warming up, because I think we're about to get the Democrats turning on Joe Biden. I think they know he can't win. I think they know he's corrupt. I think they know he's caught red-handed. And I think they're going to throw him under the bus. And when he does, the only person I can think of that they could possibly try to fill in is Gavin Newsom. And I don't know how he would win when he couldn't even take California and make it successful, when it used to be one of the most successful states. And now it is an absolute nightmare. But what choice do they have? So keep your nose to the news this next week. I got a feeling we're going to be seeing some very interesting stories. Thanks for listening.
Marcus Game. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
I'm